Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. First Corinthians 11:3. I'm just going to read this one verse. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's pray. Father, you know the heart of every person in this room. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will touch hearts. I pray that you'll give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give, and we'll give you the honor and the glory. Make your word a blessing to us today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. Well, I spent a lot of time last month teaching in Genesis about Adam and Eve, and I want to go back there for a minute. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. We're talking about Adam and Eve. What do they have to do with you? Well, it's an amazing thing to me. It says in verse 1, chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. There's just a lot of messages in this scenario of Adam and Eve. There really are. A lot of teaching. You could say that one of them is how you treat the Word of God. Now, I don't know whether we need to blame Adam for that or just blame Eve. But she added to the Word of God. That wasn't what God told Adam. Adam, in fact, has to tend that tree. That's part of his garden. So it was part of his work. Never did he say anything about not touching the tree. And you say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is you don't add to the Word of God. Amen. That's the big deal. Let the Word of God stand, and we ought to think about that even today, all through history, people get in trouble adding to the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of other people that subtract from the Word of God. You don't want to do that either. You don't want to say, oh, not that verse, not this. I'm not going to obey this, not going to obey that, whatever. No, you don't want to subtract from the Word of God either. What you want is, I want to know what God said. I'm not interested in how many fancy stories you can tell me. I would like to know what you know about what God said. Teach me what God said when you're preaching. Teach me what God spoke to you when you're teaching. We need the Word of God. And that's a message right there that brings up a big problem and controversy as far as sin is concerned. How you deal with the Word of God. Now, what did Satan do? Said he was subtle. I'm not subtle. Now, some of you are subtle. I know I'm blunt, rude, crude, with an attitude. I understand. And I know that's why some people just love me to death. No, they don't love me. That's all right. But I am plain, and I am direct. Satan is subtle. Has anybody ever told you, watch out for somebody that's always smiling? You might be in trouble, you know. You might get in trouble. Hey, some people are so sweet to your face while they're robbing you. How about in the people that care for old folks? Over and over we hear on the news about them stealing them blind. And oh, they're talking sweet to them. Oh, we just love you so much and you're so sweet. And my, how I love to do this work for you and to help you out. See what I'm talking about? And Satan hasn't changed his method. He's still doing the same thing. You know why? It works. It works. He hasn't changed his method. But he told her, said, oh, that's not true. Now, she added to the Word of God. He denied the Word of God. He said, that's not the truth. Well, let me tell you, people. For about 56 years, I've known this is the truth. I bet my soul on it. I bet my future on it. I bet my family on it. The Word of God brings truth. Now, you have to understand it. You need to do a little studying to understand it. Talking of what Billy was teaching in Sunday school this morning, there are a lot of people that get themselves all confused and tangled up, as in all religion. Religion is complicated, by the way. Remember that verse I read over there in 2 Corinthians about simplicity? There's a great deal of difference with real salvation and religion. But at any rate, Satan said, you shall not surely die. And so, she looked at the tree, and what it says right here, the tree was good for food. I like that. And it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired. Isn't that what gets most of us in trouble with sin? Right. We look at it and we don't believe what God says about it. We look at it and decide we need to make the choice for our good. There was a bumper sticker that went around when Billy was young in high school. If it feels good, do it. I know a lot of things that feel good, but you better not do it. Or else you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And just look at the people that do it. And the troubles that we've got. Think how many unwed mothers we have in this town and all around the world. That is a prescription for poverty, any way you look at it. How are you going to take care of your children? How are you going to work? How are you going to feel? Hey, God set the family up for a reason. And bless your heart, it's the protection of the women and their children. That's the greatest blessing, protection, purpose of a family where a husband and a wife, and they take care of their children. Anyway, he saw that the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise. Well, she took it. She said, I like that. Looks good to me. And she said, wow, what a taste. Adam, come here. And old Adam listened to his wife. Sometimes you're not supposed to listen to your wives, man. I've quoted this to Verlene several times. I don't need to listen to you, you know. Uh-oh, get in trouble that way, don't you? Adam listened to his wife. And he ate it. Now, I'm not sure whether Adam didn't explain it correctly to Eve or that Eve was just embellishing. But whatever, Adam knew better. The Bible tells us Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't. He knew exactly what he was doing when he ate of the fruit of that tree. Now, all of a sudden, they know they're naked. They didn't know they were naked. Do you think your dog knows he's naked? Do you think your cow knows she's naked? No, the cats and the dogs and the cows, they don't worry about being naked. They're not embarrassed one bit. Not at all. But Adam and Eve all of a sudden know that they're naked. And let me tell you what this is the story of people fixing their own sin. They made aprons of fig leaves. Can you think of a worse answer to their problem than, man, I used to have fig trees. Fig leaves aren't much. You're not doing very much good making yourself an apron of a fig leaf, I tell you for sure. And they don't last long. A little wind, a little rain, a little use, and you're naked again. Now all of a sudden they're naked and they're embarrassed and they're used to God. We don't know how long they lived in the Garden of Eden. The Bible doesn't give us any way to measure how long they were there. But they knew that God came and visited them in the afternoon. God come walking and they hid themselves. I've got some verses that I want you to read with me about hiding from God. Look, if you will, at Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34. Verse 21 and 22. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Now, we can't blame Eve and Adam for maybe not knowing all this because the Bible wasn't written and maybe God hadn't told them everything he ought to tell them. But I'll tell you what, you are really on a fool's errand when you're trying to hide from God. Now, let me tell you something about sin. We won't sin in the dark. When I was a kid, teenager dating, I went to a nightclub and on a date. And the lights are real low, and it looked real beautiful. And it was, you know, everything was, it was a nightclub, man. I was on a real big date on a nightclub. I later on became a retail milkman. And I delivered milk to that nightclub in the daytime. That was the rattiest looking place you ever saw in your life. You know why the lights were so dim? So you didn't see all the paint peeling off the walls or the rat droppings around the floor or whatever else that was in there. I walked in there and I thought this was a big date. It wasn't much of a date. Sorry place. Let me tell you something. You don't hide from God. You think when you're going to sin, it's dark. Nobody's seeing us. We're all by ourselves. And God is sitting at the table. He sees everything. You simply cannot get away with what you think you can get away with. And the foolishness of sin, and of course when we're young, we're stupid. I'm sorry, young people, but I know your brain is at its height. I understand. It's learning, it's absorbing quicker than this old man who forgets his name. But, oh, I want you to tell you, you're not very smart if you don't listen to God. And if you think God can't see what happens in the back of a car or what happens in a house or what happens at someplace else, God's everywhere. Amen. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. David thought about this. I mean, he was awed, and I'm in awe of God. Psalm 139, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hold, behold, thou art there. Darkness doesn't cover you. Clothes don't cover you. Lies don't cover you. You know what? Sin is a real enemy. And if you haven't figured it out by now, wake up. Take a look around. your chances of getting shot up are a whole lot greater if you spend your time in bars at night.
That's right. Amen.
Your chances of getting shot. Your chances of getting in a wreck and getting killed or damaged or whatever, they're a whole lot greater at night around a bar. All those good people who aren't alcoholics, they know how to handle it. I've talked to so many drunks in my 57 years. They don't know what they're doing. They think they do. And that's the problem of us and sin. We think we will get away with it. We think we are smarter. We think we are more intelligent. We think we know the answer, or we're tough, or we're something. How stupid can we be? Sin is a damaging thing. Sin hurts you. But I want you to think a minute about Adam and Eve. What about their sin? Just hurt them? You ever heard of sin that just hurts you? A victimless sin? I don't think there is such a thing. I don't think there is a sin that is completely victimless. Now, God came to Adam, and Adam said, "The woman you gave me." The blame game, you know. I love this. I just love this story. "The woman you gave me caused me to sin." But he goes to the woman. She said, "The serpent." "Not my fault. The serpent. He beguiled me. And I did sin." And he goes to the serpent. God follows the progression all the way back. And he goes to the serpent and curses him. And you have that great promise of the coming of Christ, that Satan is going to bite his heel, but Christ is going to hit him in the head. And what Jesus came for was destroy death. The devil and all of his angels and death. But at any rate, the old thing, you know, sometimes as I raised my five kids, and I raised five kids, and I spanked in my day. I don't know about y'all, but I spanked in my day. And there were some times when I couldn't get to the bottom, but I just spanked all of them because I didn't want them to get away with something. You said, "You mean, wicked thing, you." Well, the guilty party got caught, and the ones that were covering for him got caught too. Amen or oh me. Well, I'll tell you one thing about Eddie and Billy. They never squealed on each other. Understanding. Now, think with me a minute. What is the result of Adam's sin? Doesn't say Eve's sin. What is the result of Adam's sin? What did God say it was going to be? Death. Death. Death was not known until Adam. Adam is the first one. Now look with me, Will, if you will, in the New Testament, into the book of Romans, chapter 5, sin always has a consequence, and it always reaches out further than you.
Amen.
Sin's going to hurt your parents. Sin's going to hurt your children. Sin's going to hurt your wife. Sin's going to hurt your husband. Sin's going to hurt your friends. Sin has a way of destroying things. You ought to be real careful. Don't think that God can't see you. And in fact, you ought to know He's sitting right across the table. He's sitting in the seat in the car. You're not hiding anything from anybody. You never get away with sin. Even if you don't get punished immediately, you never get away with sin. What you need to do is have sin forgiven.
Amen.
And separate from it.
Amen.
Look, if you will, at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All it did was take a bite of a tree. Are you one of those, like Billy was talking about, that think you keep the Ten Commandments and want to promote keeping the Ten Commandments? They couldn't keep one. A perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect garden couldn't keep one commandment. What can you do? If you're honest, you'll acknowledge to yourself and to God, I don't do very well with commandments. How many of you fatties have promised to lose weight every January? How many diets have you been on? Had a doctor tell me the other day, now I'm 77 and got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. He said, you know, you might ought to lose a little weight. I said, Doc, I've lost 1,000 pounds. And every time I lost it, I put it back on and added some. I'm afraid of a diet. It just means I'm going to get fatter. Older and fatter. Oh, you can handle it though, can't you? No, you can't. If Adam and Eve are going to mess up in a perfect garden with God as their only friend, what are you going to do? They didn't have but one commandment. Don't, you see all those trees? Eat all of them. But that one tree, don't eat it. When you do, you'll die. Didn't believe God. And what happened? As by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. Verse 14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, so shall many be made righteous. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The result of Adam's sin? Death. The death of Adam. Spiritual death that day. He's taken away from the garden and the tree of life. He's put out in the field working for his food. Eve, I don't know how long she lived. Adam lived 930 years. But Eve was a perfect woman. She didn't have any failures in her. She didn't have any weaknesses. She didn't have any sicknesses. She was made by God out of refined dirt. Adam. I don't know how long she lived, but she lived long enough to have a whole lot of babies. Boys and girls, the ones we read about, Cain and Abel and Seth, those are representative men. These are leaders of a thought, leaders of people. One man's sin, and you're suffering for it today. Every one of you came out of Adam. Every one of you. Take it on down to the flood and take a look at Moses. Moses came out of Adam. And are people still dying? I would imagine that around the world today there'll be about 300,000 people dying today. Around the world. Anybody enjoy death? Well, some people that are suffering a whole lot, they don't mind it. But hey, their family, sometimes even when they know these people are suffering, it hurts them. Hurts them all over. And you get the loss of the fellowship and the loss of the family and the loss of companionship and friendship. Oh yeah. Death is a tragedy. I'm not a very emotional. I'm emotional, don't get me wrong. But I'm not real sentimental, maybe. My daddy passed away. I love my daddy. And he passed away, and I buried him. And I went back up to visit one of his sisters, which was living on his place, farm, up on the Lampasas River. And my dear old aunt, she said, have you gone by to see your daddy? And I said, Enora, Daddy's not there. Daddy is not there. She said, Lendell, I want you to go see your daddy. No, Enora, man, his spirit's up there with the Lord, and I don't need to go by the cemetery. She said, Lendell. She was a very insistent old woman. She said, you need to go by and see your daddy. I said, it's just a grave, Aunt Dora. He's not there. Are you going to go by? Yes, ma'am. I will drive up to the cemetery. I will walk out and stand at the foot of my daddy's grave. Does that make you happy? I cried for 30 minutes. It shocked me. It really, I didn't think I'd cry standing in front of a grave. I know he's not there. I was in the hospital room with him when I talked to him 1 minute, stepped out, spoke to my mother, went back and talked to him again, and he was gone. He wasn't in that body. He wasn't in that casket. I knew he was gone. But oh, I want you to know, I went out there and wept for 30 minutes. Death hurts us. I wish I had him to walk over and talk about a few things. He had such a reasonable mind. He was such a moderate man. And he could say, well, now if you go this way, this will probably happen. And if you go this way, this will probably happen. I'd love to listen to him again. Oh, I hated listening to him when I was a teenager and he quit spanking me. He didn't spank to me anymore. I was too big to be spanked. He just talked to me. It was worse. I would have traded a spanking any day for him talking to me for 30 minutes about how stupid I was. Any of you got any conversations like that going? What about this? Death reigned from Adam to Moses. One man's offense, death reigned by one. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Oh yeah. Sin is costly. Adam's sin was terribly costly. I imagine when Cain killed Abel, his sin came back up to his mind real carefully, because I imagine he loved Abel just as much as he loved Cain. There's another verse. 1 Corinthians Chapter 15, and there's several verses. Verse 22. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Adam, all die. No son of Adam can live. He's got death in him. Death is passed down upon him. And when that little baby is born in your family, it's born to die. As in Adam, all die. Look at verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, here's the difference. Now, you want a type, a biblical type? Adam is a biblical type. He's a type of Christ. He's a representative man. He's a man that represents all mankind. He represents Christ, even. The first Adam, the second Adam. As in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. All right, we've got this death all around us. Now, Social Security system, Medicare's paying for a lot of stuff for me to keep me alive. I don't think I'm worth it. It's an awful lot of money. But I'm still going to die. No matter what they do, I don't care which doctor you get, I don't care which hospital you put me in, I don't really care which medicine you give me, I'm going to die unless the Lord comes and raptures us all out. I'm going to die. Death is my expectation. When I was blinded at 50 by diabetes. I was blinded. I couldn't drive. I couldn't read. You know something? That's no fun. And I didn't think I'd ever reach 60. I'm 77 already. Somebody said, oh, you look like you live 20 more years. I said, I hope not. Good night. Why would I want to be around here 20 years longer? As in Adam, all die. Look at verse 45. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Wow. That's great. You talk the miraculous thing of it. God took a little dirt, made mud, and he made Adam. Wow. We're of the ground. Take a look at us. We're going to go back to the ground. That's what we're going to do. He was made a living soul. So much religion. They've got their statues. They've got their signs. They've got their symbols. And they're so complicated. No. Life. You talk about a miracle. You talk about something great. God took that dirt and breathed into it and made it live. He made a living soul. That's absolutely great. Oh, but Christ is better. He was made a quickening spirit. You know what that means? He was made a spirit that can make your spirit live. You're born with a living body and a living soul and a dead spirit. Because of Adam. And if you are ever going to see heaven, you ever going to walk the streets of gold, if your sins are ever forgiven, you got to be in Christ. He's the quickening spirit, the one that makes people live. We don't understand it. But when you repent of your sins and accept Christ as your substitute, and call upon God and ask Him to forgive you and save you, He puts His Spirit within you. That's when you're in Christ. And in Christ, you live. And you can't die. Oh, this physical body's going to die. But hey, it's just going to be a promotion. In fact, by the time you die, you might be real happy to get out of your body. Art Linkletter wrote a book, Old Age is Not for Sissies. I believe old Art knew what he was talking about. Praise God, are you in Christ? I didn't say, are you a member of the church? I didn't say, do you keep the commandments? I didn't say, do you give money to the poor? I didn't say, do you treat your wife right and your mother right and your father right? Are you in Christ? There's a difference. I had religion. I was baptized twice. And then I got saved. And when Christ came into me, He changed my life forever. And the difference is I was in Adam in all his death and sin and stupidity. And boy, one day I repented of my sins and called on God with what I'd heard. Little simple faith. And God came into me and changed Amen. My life. My friend said, oh, it'll last a couple of weeks. A lot of people get, you know, attacks of religion. Well, that's 56, 7 years. Wow. A change. Boy, did it change me. I'm thankful for the change. He's a quickening spirit. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation.
Amen.
That's what you want.
Amen.
Let's go back to the verse I opened with this morning. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he said, but I fear, he had a fear, lest by any means As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. All of us are familiar with all different kinds of religion. We got Christianity general, we got the Muslims general, we got the Jews general, and then there's breakups all down under that. It's pretty complicated. They have actually kissed away the big toe of the statue of St. Peter in Rome. Kissed it away. The toe's not there. It's a marble statue. How many times do you have to kiss a marble statue to wear it away? That's religion. They've got the apostles and they've got saints. And by the way, they just made two more. That's Catholicism. Is it complicated? Tremendously. Is it beautiful? Yes. Does it appeal to the senses? Yes, it does. Does it save the soul? No. All other religions are the same way. I used to climb hills in Guatemala. I'd find little altars, little chicken bones, chicken feet and stuff down on these altars. They're trying to reach God. They're trying the way they were taught. They're trying the way their mother and daddy did it. Didn't work for mom and dad, and it won't work for them. Did you notice that little word, simplicity? Salvation in Christianity is not really complicated. It's simple. You know what people do? People are religious. And they want to have a religion. And they want to do things to show they're religious. They want to put on special clothes. They want to do certain things and give offerings or deny themselves or chastise themselves or pay for their sins some way. Doesn't work. He said, Corinthians, I'm worried about you. Worried that you could be corrupted. Which is in Christ. Let me tell you something. Salvation is simple, real simple. You owed a debt you can never pay. You had a curse. That was death. It came upon you from your father, Adam. Passed all the way down through all that are in Adam. And you got nothing to do. No way you can get out of it. And you're a big sinner, you can't even come into the presence of God. And God sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, fulfilling the law, completing an established righteousness. And He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And He hung up on that cross. And the biggest thing is not crucifixion or a painful death for 3 hours. The biggest thing is He paid the debt of your sin. The Bible says He was made sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Wow. It's a substitution. Christ pays my debt, I'm debt free. He pays for my sin, I'm sin free. He destroys death and gives me life, and I live forever. It's so simple, don't complicate it. And that's what religion does. Every day, millions of people, even this morning, even among Christian churches, are complicating salvation. oh, good little boys go to heaven, bad little boys go to hell. That's not true. I was a bad little boy, and I'm going to heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There aren't any good little boys. Now, I know some of you mothers will disagree with me, but you, that's your own child. There aren't any good little boys. They're all sinners. Every stinking one of them. And I've had five little boys and little girls. And I taught them for 20 years. Inner city, public school, gang members. Had them killed on me year after year. They were tough kids coming out of a tough life. Let me tell you something. You're contaminated with something. Sin. You're contaminated with a propensity for it. You're contaminated with an appetite for it. And because of sin, you can't walk into the presence of God. But Christ Himself paid your debt. Christ loved you so much, He gave you an appeal. Him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Thank God for that. If you're not saved, and you know it, why don't you take Jesus Christ as your substitute, as your God, as your Savior today? Today's the day. And Christian friend, if you haven't thanked God for His mercy in a while, maybe you ought to start thanking Him. Amen. You ought to get up every morning and go to bed every night saying, thank you, God, that you paid my debt. How simple. How simple. Don't make it complicated. Don't add a lot of religion to it. Just take what God's Word says. Let's sing Just As I Am. I think it's 249. 249.